This is another episode of Connecting the Dots podcast. I'm Skip Stewart, Vice President and Chief Improvement Officer at Baptist Memorial Healthcare.
Hey, everyone. I'm Brad Parsons, Vice President of Market Operations at Baptist.
Well, folks, we have a very interesting podcast today. We're going to actually talk about an experiment that we are running at Baptist Memorial Healthcare, and specifically at our large hospital in Memphis, Tennessee. So we have three guests that are part of our family, and they're part of the experiment. But let me kind of throw the ball to them and start with Dr. Robert Bradshaw. Dr. Bradshaw, would you tell the audience a little bit about yourself and your background?
Yeah, of course. Thanks for that, and thanks for having me today. I'm a hospitalist working with Team Health here at Baptist Memphis. I have been practicing in Memphis for the last 10 years. The majority of that time was spent in academics at University of Tennessee Health Science Center. I was the internal medicine residency program director and then transitioned to hospital leadership roles and have been here since November. And so I'm from Arkansas, but call myself a Memphian these days. I've got four kids and a lovely wife, and that's a little bit about me.
Awesome. Let's go next to Jody Woods.
All right. Thank you, Skip. I'm Jody Woods. I'm the Associate Chief Nursing Officer here at Baptist Hospital in Memphis. I have been an RN for about 20 years, mostly starting out with my career in med-surg specialty. I moved into being a director, manager, then director, and now an ACNO. Like I said, I've been here for 13 years, not from Memphis, but call it home now, originally from Mississippi. And a little smaller family than Dr. Bradshaw has. I have one kid and a husband. So thank you for having me.
Awesome. And then finally, Dr. Nirmit Kothari.
Hey, thank you, Skip. So I'm Nirmit Kothari, Associate Chief Medical Officer at Baptist Memphis. Trained as an internist / hospitalist, worked as a hospitalist for 15 plus years at Baptist for about 10 years. I served in different roles, including facility and system medical director, overseeing several hospitalist programs in the last few years as an associate chief medical officer in our system. And I would say my primary focus in this role has been truly connecting the dots between patient flow and quality, connecting the dots between how daily work yields results at the end of the month. And I'm really excited about, talking about this experiment of Dysflow Expo.
Fantastic. And I'm glad you called it an experiment, because this experiment is one of many experiments that we are running to continue to improve patient flow. We talk often, I know Brad and I do, about if the information stops flowing, the patient's going to stop flowing. And this experiment is very fascinating. We call it the Dyspo Expo, but Dr. Bradshaw, would you kick us off by telling us what in the world is the Dyspo Expo?
Yeah, absolutely. I will get to, I'm sure, the background of how we got there, but in the hospital, thinking about discharge planning is a critical piece of the puzzle. And, we often say that discharge planning should start on the first day of hospital admission. And the vernacular around here is dispo, disposition. That's what we say. So like, what's the dispo plan? So that's a common term that people use. And this model that we'll get into of the experiment is traditionally called a Turkish bazaar. And if you called this the Turkish bazaar, it would confuse a lot of people, because we don't use the word bazaar very often in our local, vernacular. And so it can be confusing, because it also sounds like the word bizarre, like that is a strange, setting. But anyway, the bazaar would be like a marketplace or a farmer's market. So a farmer's market is real familiar, but it doesn't rhyme with dispo. And so an expo, like an exposition, rhymes with dispo. And so that's where we came to this as kind of a chaotic but effective way to bring a lot of people into a room and have little booths and that type of thing. So that's the origin story for Dyspo Expo.
Dr. Bradshaw, I got to be honest, I was not expecting Turkish Bazaar to come up on our podcast today. That's pretty cool.
Me neither. And I, credit goes to one of my assistant medical directors, Dr. Kanaganti. He was the one who said, I think we should look at the Turkish Bazaar model, which is a known format. And I agreed with him. I thought, that sounds great. That could fit our need, but we can't call it that. We can't call it the Turkish Bazaar.
Yeah, so that's great. And that gives a good visual for us. So whether it's Turkish Bazaar or a farmer's market, kind of explain exactly what's happening in a Dyspo Expo.
Sure. Dr. Kothari, Jody, please jump in at any point. But We've got, at this moment, around 10 nursing units, 9 or 10 nursing units that have a table in a large conference room. And so key representatives from each of those units are at each table with a little sign or placard that says who they represent. And then our hospitalists, there's 21 or 22 a day, come into that room during a specified window of time and just roam to each of those tables. And they discuss their patients, and two-way communication occurs to make sure everybody's on the same page about patient care. So that's the quick version. I'd love for y'all to add more.
Yeah, so just to kind of elaborate a little bit on that is maybe why we got to this point of even starting the Dispo Expo. So we realized that there was a big opportunity, a big disconnect from nursing and physicians and ensuring that we were on the same page. We would go to what we call our multidisciplinary rounds every day, and nursing and case management will be talking about a plan for the patient. And then we've come to find out it's not the plan at all that the physicians had for the patient. So that piece was missing, partially because we're such a large hospital. Our physicians are, you know, they have patients on multiple floors. It's hard for them to be in one place for MDMs when another unit needs them. So having all the nursing departments in one area for the physicians to come to them kind of forced that communication to make sure that we are on the same page. And then nursing comes prepared with what we believe is the plan for the patient, prepared to answer any questions the physician may have at Dispo Expo to ensure that we're all on the same page, we're all communicating and working towards the goal of an appropriate disposition for our patients. Case management and nursing are usually at the table. Kind of started out, as he mentioned, with physicians coming and bringing what they plan specifically for the patients that they thought were leaving today. And that's expanded even to every patient that they have on that floor they go and discuss, because our time management has become better. So we get it all done in 30 minutes and they're able to discuss every patient that they have.
Yeah, I was doing the quick math just today, and we have 400 patients on the Team Health Hospitalist Service at Baptist Memphis today. And 260 of them were discussed at Dispo Expo today.
Wow.
And so we cover a pretty large component of our census.
In 30 minutes, 260 patients were covered because of the way we've set that up today.
That's right. And each physician is in that room for about 10 minutes. So it's a pretty efficient use of time compared to the previous model of whack-a-mole, trying to track everybody down and have those one-off conversations.
Yeah, I was going to say that's the key thing is, you know, Jody explained, you know, why, you know, we wanted to get all three key components of the patient care team, which is physician, nursing, case management, same room, same table, face-to-face conversation. Theoretically, we all agree that it's beneficial. I think Dispo Expo is our answer how to do it. And not only how to do it, but how to do it quickly. So it's not a 2-hour long. Because as I think Skip has repeatedly said, anything lasts beyond 30 minutes, everyone is looking for an excuse not to do it day after day. So how to do it, not only to do it, but do it quickly, do it efficiently, and also make it meaningful for all parties involved. So, you know, I think I like the analogy of Turkish bazaar. I would say it was noisy, and it is still like any bazaar. But the key thing is it's a lot of exchange of information, exchange of commodity, similar to that is exchange of information happening with all stakeholders at the same time, which has added a significant clarity to the care plan, care progression, and discharge planning. It is not only meaningful for and helpful for nursing and case management staff, but our physicians love it as well. Personally, I have heard a naysayer, you know, a week or 2 weeks after starting that, telling other physician, "I love it. I wish this never goes away. I wish we can add more units." The first thing we repeatedly heard from physicians once we started with 5 units is, how quickly can we add more units? How can we get more? And I think to me, that's the biggest testament of it, this working, is that everyone doing that not only liked it, but wanted it more.
Yeah, I wish I could go back and
Go ahead, Doug Bratcher.
Well, I was just going to say, I wish I could go back and tell myself in April of 2025 that the feedback that we're getting on the first day or two is not going to be the feedback that we're getting permanently, because people at first were very hesitant to carve out any time of their day. This is valuable time, you know, 10:30 in the morning. Everybody's really busy. And now people are eager to get there and asking, can you include me? I want to be there, too, because it's such a valuable
No, I really appreciate that. That is such a great comment, because we really speak to change management a lot on this podcast, and with a lot of folks in performance improvement today are talking about change management. The realities are people don't want to change. They want to protect their time. And so tell us a little bit more about the start of this, and maybe how we got to this, as this is something that we need to do. I know you mentioned one of your colleagues that kind of shared the idea, but talk a little bit about how we even considered this as an option.
The previous state was the information needed to flow, but there wasn't a defined mechanism to do so. And so the nursing leaders or the case management colleagues would be reaching out to individual physicians asking for information about discharge plan. And we knew we needed to come up with a better way to get everybody on the same page. And having cohorting of patients, like geographic rounding, there were pros and cons of considering that, or having the physicians on unit-based multidisciplinary rounds logistically was difficult because of our size and complexity. And so it came to, we need to try something. We've got to have an experiment and see how it goes and learn from it. And this was the version that we thought made the most sense. And getting the buy-in was just describing, we've got to try something. And I think this is the method that people will like the most out of the different options. And
where did the idea come from? I think you mentioned it, but whose idea was it? I know it was a collective effort, but how did this bubble up?
Particularly the Dispo Expo came from a conversation between hospitalist group leaders, Dr. Kathari, nursing leaders, Jody, and our CNO, Kara Beard. We were just talking in Kara's office about what we could do, how we could move this need forward. And Praveen Kanaganti was the one who said, I think this model could fit what we need. And there were, we all felt a little bit like, I don't know. But now looking back, it was a brilliant idea.
And so in the first couple of weeks, was there a lot of hesitation, and kind of how did that evolve into what you're describing today?
Yeah, I could speak from the physician standpoint. I'm curious from the nursing standpoint, if there was hesitancy on the front end.
A little bit of hesitancy on the front end, I think partially because they thought, well, I have to go to Dispo Expo for 30 minutes, and then I'm going to have to go to MDM for another 30 to 45 minutes to repeat this information. So what we learned too, as we mentioned, this is an experiment. Everything, you know, we learned from everything, it hasn't changed. We had to change our MDM process a little bit to make sure that we're still taking into account their time, the importance to get the information across. But, you know, we would go to MDM and complete the insanity of the nurse telling us what they thought the process was, and then us being like, no, really, that's not the plan. Here's what we just learned. So we did kind of flip our MDM process around to say, these are the patients that we reviewed in Dispo Expo. This is the plan. Are we missing anything from you, nurse? Is there anything that we don't know about? So that they can then take that plan and get it back to our patient. That's still our opportunity and area that we're working on, is ensuring that that care coordination piece is, the nurse knows what's going on, the physician knows what's going on. Now let's make sure that the patient knows what's going on. So hesitancy was there originally, but now it's a part of our daily workflow.
So let me jump off of Jody's comments, because they were so good. You know, in the world of improvement, we reference this acronym a lot, PDSA, Plan, Do, Study, Adjust, been around for well over 100 years. And at Baptist, we like to think about, we're going to do something, we expect something to happen, but most of the time, something different happens. And that's where we get to really learn. Jody, there you referenced things that you're dealing with now and things that you've learned in the past. I'd be interested in any of your comments. What was a big discovery that surprised you? Or maybe something that even right now has surprised you and you're trying to figure out how to experiment through that element. Anything come to mind?
I think the thing that mostly surprises, and I think it was obvious, but I think that Dispo Expo just made it everyone blatantly aware that the opportunity for communication to the patient really closes the gap, because we can make plans all day long. And if the patient's not involved in that plan, it's not going to be successful. The patient's going to end up coming back to the hospital. We may not be meeting their needs. So I think that's our biggest aha that we've taken from this.
So for me, that one of the things that I've enjoyed seeing the most, I don't know if it's necessarily surprising, but it is a huge highlight, is the interpersonal relationships that have developed through this. You know, the physicians and the nurse leaders and the case managers talk to each other face to face. And, you know, previously there might have been, the most I knew about this person was how they replied in a chat or over the phone, or I see their name, and now they know them, and there's pleasantries that are exchanged. And I think it really goes a long way in terms of we all are functioning as a team taking care of the patient.
And what it does is, I think piggybacking on that is, Dispo Expo just happened. That's a 30-minute thing, but the relationship or the communication or just knowing each other has helped us have a lot of conversation happening outside of it, which were not happening before. So if I know someone, I'm going to reach out to them. I'm not going to wait for Dispo Expo. If I have a need at 3 p.m., I'm going to do that today versus waiting for Dispo Expo next day. So that has just helped us escalate things a lot quicker than what we were able to do it in the past. And I would also say, I think what Jody mentioned about MDM, I think we were intentional as we rolled out. You know, we cannot add minutes in a day. You know, those are fixed number of minutes, fixed number of hours. So as we add something, we strategically and tactically wanted to make sure what else can we do, where else can we reduce the time. So we set a goal that our combined time for Dispo Expo and MDM should be no more than what the amount they were spending in MDM before. So we were able to save that time and use it for Dispo Expo.
Jody, you want to add something else?
Yeah, as we're talking, I think we're still missing a piece of Dispo Expo that we haven't mentioned to everybody. We have the units there, we have the managers there and the case management, but we also have some ancillary departments that we realize were very important in ensuring that patients flow to their discharge area or the discharge plan. PTOT is present. They have a table. Our imaging department has a table and lab has a table. And what our physicians love about that is if I'm just waiting on one thing for this patient to make a decision on the disposition of that patient, they can go right up to the leader of that department and say, hey, I have a patient in 3373. All I'm waiting on is the MRI. And we know how to appropriately, you know, obviously stat MRIs, those kind of things are important. But after that, how do we prioritize these patients to ensure that we get them to the place they need to be?
Great comment.
That has been a game changer as well. And it's all the more incentive for the docs to prioritize this time in their day. So they plan a little bit for Dispo Expo. They're looking and pre-rounding and seeing some patients. And then they know that they'll be able to go and move the care plan forward by these conversations. We've even seen some people, some of these units bring paperwork that needs signature to those unit or to that meeting so that the physician can go ahead and get that taken care of. So everybody is slowly recognizing it as this is the center point of the flow of the day. And there's lots of conversations that happen before and after as well, but it can be a very efficient use of time in all these areas.
Well, I love how you talk about one, the practical space and time, but two, how important the relationship is, that this is really a relationship that's forming because all the information is readily available and allows for, again, we get results through relationships. We talk about that a lot. And so it's great that we're creating that alignment with all the stakeholders. And I think one of our principles, this is really respectful of everybody's time. Nermit, the way you said that you kind of started with that charge of, you know, it's no more than what we're spending in MDMs today. This process allows us, it's a refined process that is making better use of time, aligning the resources appropriately, and really showing respect for our team. Nermit, I want to go to, because again, I think that we've talked a lot about patient flow, and we've really been focusing on patient flow. And so this is an evolution, and we talked about some of those kind of component parts. A unified hospitalist team with Dr. Bradshaw's leadership. We talk about kind of the blocking and tackling of MDMs historically, but I want you to, for a minute, Nermit, talk about maybe a click out and talk about this macro flow system and how you're thinking about that today, because I know you spend a lot of time and are really an expert in the space for us in thinking about flow. So can you speak to that a little bit about the journey and certainly where you're focused on today?
No, absolutely. First of all, I'm no expert, and it's a daily learning for me, and I've learned a lot from others on this call as well as across the system. But I think in general, our, you know, the whole work started with, you know, let's work on metrics that we can see results right away to, so that we know it's working or not, rather than waiting for a month or 2 months later when we get a number, which was in the past length of stay. So really focusing on, you know, what drives length of stay, whether it's the discharge efficiency, it's the daily number of discharges, also breaking it down to, you know, connecting it to the front line. So O2E length of stay, a nurse who is taking care of the patient cannot connect to that. So, you know, our work has been to really break it down to, you know, facility level, unit level metric, and then converting into what do I need to do today so that a month later, our length of stay would look good. And then, you know, once you have a goal for today is how we achieve that goal. So, and that's where our components of daily flow work, whether it's our huddle at 8:30, whether it's dispo expo at 10:30, the patient flow call at 12:30, or 5 to 7 day review call that case management does at 3, or the closure call that nursing leads at 4. All those components have a core concept of care progression, discharge planning, barrier escalation, real-time resolution, and closing the loop. But talking about a little bit different items, but at the end of the day, they're all connected and then feeds into our overall flow system. I want to also take a minute, Brad, to, you know, because I'm a big proponent of if we're doing an experiment, how are we measuring? What is our return on investment? This is return on investment on time or the effort. So I think the way, you know, could see the tangible impact of the Dispo Expo, I would say, you know, one is the soft impact, which is increased engagement, better relationship, you know, the time that everyone got back, because now, as if you're a case manager or nurse, you're not, you don't have to chase, you know, 10 different hospitalists randomly throughout the day, spend, you know, an hour doing so. You get the same information, your questions answered in 10 minutes. If you're a physician, you don't have to reach out to 10 different case managers. You know, for most of your patients, you're able to connect with them in that 10 minute you spend. And then the measurable metric is, in my mind, the discharge efficiency. So since we started Dispo Expo, there's about a percent increase. So 17 to 18%, our discharge efficiency has gone up roughly about, you know, from 17 to 18%. Really small number, right, if you think of that way. But for a census of average daily census of about 550, that's about 5.5 patients or 5 patients every day. So you add that every day, that's about 150
really,
patients
really
at the
powerful.
End of the month. So that's a powerful number. And it's, again, it's the work every day that when adds up at the end of the month and a year, that's huge results. And we are also seeing a significant reduction, or we have seen a significant reduction in physician-related barriers on our 4 p.m. closure call. So I think all in all, when we measure it, whether it's the engagement, time saved, increased discharges, increased discharge efficiency, improved throughput, improved length of stay. And I think it is also playing a big role in our quality metrics as well, because to me, flow efficiency and quality are all connected.
Really good, Dr. Kathar. You actually answered multiple questions that I had, so I had to come up with the next question. But I am interested because you talked about the connection there. And, you know, we call this podcast Connecting the Dot, which is based off the principle of systemic thinking. I'm just curious, in the past or maybe even present, has there been anything in that nursing meeting at 4 o'clock that, Jody, you may have thought, this should have been addressed at the Dispo Expo, or there should have, or we can take this information and take it back to the Dispo Expo to strengthen that part? I'm just more curious than anything.
I would say yes. I think it has allowed us to evolve the thinking of our managers, because even at that 4 o'clock call, we as directors are responsible for kind of reporting out, but our managers are there present with us. And the question becomes real time in the time of the meeting, why did we not ask this at 4 o'clock or at 10:30? Or did we? Did we know this at 10:30, and why did we not take action on doing that? So sometimes it's little things, but we don't We haven't added a lot to Dispo Expo because we don't want to make it so all-inclusive that it becomes very cumbersome for people that are attending. But we have definitely taken that time to say, hey, this is a learning opportunity for us. We should have addressed this earlier, or we did address this earlier, and we failed to act upon it. But I will say, a lot of our discharges, orders are done earlier in the morning. And then the next day when we come to work, we have we've had days where we had zero expected discharges that were still left over that didn't get handled. So that's great.
That is so good. And again, I love hearing this. I mean, really, we've articulated a process here at Baptist Memphis that has evolved over time to now help us ensure that we're sharpening our thinking about what needs to occur. So again, I think some of our listeners know, but I did get to work with Dr. Kothari and Jody for a fair amount at Baptist Memphis. Dr. Bradshaw came soon after I left, but I'm really excited to see how y'all have continued to evolve, and you're continuing to sharpen the thinking about what's next for Flow at Baptist Memphis. The other thing I wanted to mention is just the complexity. We've talked a lot on this podcast, and I'm really studying right now complexity theory and how that impacts the work that we do. I continue to say healthcare is the most complex thing ever created. You know, we have the privilege of working in that space, but there's all these component parts. So I think one of the things that y'all have said, and I want to emphasize for our listeners, is that there's not a magic wand. There's not a silver bullet. Dispo Expo is a great ad, but certainly not an end-all be-all. Nermit, you reeled off 5 or 6 daily processes that are occurring to help make sure that flow is happening for the hospital. Any comments or thoughts there?
No, I think the as you mentioned, you know, for listeners, I would say, again, this is something, it worked for us. It may not work exactly similar somewhere else. You know, this is a tool that will need be adjusted depending upon the need of the facility. But the key words I would say I picked up, you know, and I think for the listeners too, is it's an experiment. I think it's, in my mind, it is okay to fail. It's not okay not to try, right? So we got to try, we got to learn. And I think this is not a year later. I don't want our Dispo Expo to look what it looks currently. I want, you know, we want to evolve it. We want to make sure, you know, we talk about care progression. We talk about what needs to do on day 2 and do it right on day 2 and 3. So discharges happen automatically on day 4 and 5. So, you know, it's a continuous evolution. You know, we have to continue to work on it and continue to, you know, evolve. And I think those were probably my last final comments on that.
Yeah. Thanks, Dermot.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think Dispo Expo is a tool, and you have to have the right tool for the right situation. And at Baptist Memphis, it has been a great tool. But at a different facility, you might need to do something that looks altogether different, but with the same intention of connecting people and bringing the conversation and the communication together. There's a quote that I bet most of people on this call and probably lots of listeners have heard that says, "You don't rise to the level of your goals, you fall to the level of your systems." It's a James Clear quote from Atomic Habits. And I love that because we have a goal of, we want to bring people together and help them talk, but we can't just have a wish dream. We have to actually establish a system that fits for this context to bring people together. And I think Dispo Expo has been that for us, but every other facility or entity listening might have a different system that they need for their needs.
Well, team, this has been fantastic. What a great short but impactful conversation. We love this experiment. We love the discoveries along the way. I remember the first time I came over there and observed it, I saw how fast the doctors got in, got out, and they had a window of when that was good for them. And I thought, how respectful is this? But I've just been so encouraged by this and the work that the Memphis team is doing. But on behalf of Baptist Memorial Healthcare, thank y'all so much for spending a little bit of time with us today. Thank you so much for having the courage to run this experiment and to, you know, build on what Dr. Kothari said. Failure is not a negative thing. We get to learn from it. And so thank y'all so much for spending some time with us today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.